Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com.
Radio that you control, and 603-283-6160 is the phone number to call here. That's 603-283-6160. We do have a caller on the line, but I want to thank Cornsbane, who's a gold-level amplifier. Cornsbane is a gold-level amplifier, which means that he's giving to the AMPS program, which you can go to amps.freetalklive.com if you would like to also join or learn more. That's amps.freetalklive.com. So thank you so much to Cornsbane for helping to advertise, market, promote, and support Free Talk Live. That's what AMP stands for. We really appreciate it. With you in the studio tonight, it's me, Bonnie,
Lori, and Nikki.
And we already have a caller on the line, Tom in New Hampshire. Tom, what's on your mind?
Well, this afternoon I was on my way to room 306 in the Legislative Office Building for a hearing on daylight saving time, ending daylight saving time, House Bill 1075. I was talking to some people in the building on my way up there, and one guy wearing a state representative name tag asked me if my first name was Tom.
Hmm.
And I said, yes, I identified who I am. I don't know if he knew me from somewhere, but he said he heard me talk on Free Talk Live.
Wow.
A state representative, it's probably just as well with him that I didn't catch his name, but yes, you're reaching state representatives and other people out there who might as well be listening to Free Talk Live as anybody else.
Well, oh, you didn't catch his name? Because it might have been, you know, like...
I didn't catch his name.
One of the reps that Matt, right? I was thinking it might have been a rep that we already know listens to us. But that's pretty cool.
But
it'd be cool if it was, like, anyway, some normie.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
Yeah, and... I testified in support of the ending of daylight saving time and provided some maps that show where the time zone, where the 75th meridian is, and how the Legislative Office Building, you have a choice between being 13 minutes and 51 seconds slow on Eastern Standard Time or 46 minutes and 9 seconds fast. And it pretty much explained the facts of the situation. I mean, yeah, it looks like New Hampshire belongs in the Atlantic time zone at a glance of the time zone maps, but that's an illusion because the western border of the time zone is so far west. If you take a look at Michigan, Michigan actually belongs in the central time zone. And almost all of it, just like almost all of Maine belongs in the eastern time zone. Almost all of Michigan is in Eastern time. Detroit belongs on the Central time zone. And it's because the western border is so far west, it kind of looks like New Hampshire belongs in the next time zone over. So I explained that part to them. And then I made a mockery of the idea of, why don't we just draw the boundary lines right where they belong? Okay, 82.5 degrees west, that's halfway between Eastern and Central time, right smack dab through the city of Tampa, Florida. Sure, it gets better. You know, right halfway between 90 and 105 degrees west, how about go right smack dab through the heart of downtown Oklahoma City, missing the state capitol building by two
blocks? Are you saying, like, it's arbitrary, so it doesn't matter? Is that what you're saying?
Well, I'm saying they should draw the boundary lines where they belong, but, along county lines and international borders, if you're out for convenience and not right smack dab through the middle of Oklahoma City, where the time zone line actually belongs, it would miss the state capitol building by two blocks. How would you like to have a time zone line running right through Concord, missing the state house by two blocks? So I put it in perspective that way.
Well, way, it's like you're against this daylight savings bill, you're saying?
I'm in support of ending daylight saving time because daylight saving time is the wrong time for our longitude.
Yeah, but I think that we should definitely keep it the way it is in the spring. So we should keep daylight saving time and just stop changing it. Do you see what I'm saying?
But then it would be dark out when kids are going to school. And
forget those kids. More...
They should stop going to school.
Well,
you mean in the morning, Tom?
It's not even like dark.
Anybody who says they can give you more daylight by tampering with your clock, well, I can sell you a cool weight loss program that involves tampering with your bathroom scale.
Yeah, but we don't want to tamper with the clocks.
Yeah, I don't want to
tamper
back and forth.
When is it going to be dark for the kids going to school in the morning? What time are they going to school that it's dark?
Yeah, that's a good point, because even in the winter, I woke up at 6:20 yesterday to go to Jane Shallen's hearing, and... when I was in the bathroom, like, doing my makeup and stuff, the sun was coming up. It wasn't, like, you know, pitch black out there. The kids aren't going to school at 5 a.m. So I think that's a bad argument. I don't think that it should be dark at 5 p.m. That's annoying.
And it's bad for everyone, for, like, mental health reasons.
It really
is. You know what I mean? Like,
I don't care if it's quote-unquote
the
natural.
The kids are depressed.
There's no such thing as a natural time. Time is a... concept.
Yeah, time's not real. It doesn't matter anyways.
Yeah, people did not
use
clocks.
But it is annoying that they keep changing it. So if they could just... I don't really care, but just if they would stick to one time, that'd be, like, better.
I do care, though. I would prefer the spring version, whatever that is.
I think I agree with you. I kind of forget, but I think I agree that the spring one feels more natural.
It's just, in the summer, like, it doesn't really matter. The sun's up a lot more. But in the winter, it would be at least, like, 6 p.m. by the time it started getting dark instead of, like, 5. I mean, there are a few days that's even earlier than that.
Yeah, like 3:30 in the afternoon.
Yeah. Oh, I hate it so much. Which is just, like, a winter problem.
If it'll come light out at 6 o'clock in the morning and you're on daylight saving time, you'll be pretending it's 7 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, but I'm not awake, so I don't care.
Yeah, I'm not awake. And when I am awake at 6 a.m., I don't care about pretending that it's 7. I would way rather be I don't know what you're saying.
Most people are affected by daylight in the afternoon.
Yeah, more people are awake and doing stuff.
And that's the thing, a lot of people that have to wake up really early for work, it's going to be dark regardless. If you have to wake up at like 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning, it's just going
to
be dark.
And you're going to have more energy to pay attention driving. When it's 3 p.m. and it's dark, you're tired from working and you're driving home, this probably causes accidents.
And depression.
Yeah.
Makes you feel sad. We need as much vitamin D as we can get in New Hampshire, New Hampshire winters, you know?
Well, thank you for the call, Tom. And I understand. We mostly agree on this. We mostly agree. Like, it should not be changed around so arbitrarily. And thanks for going to the bill and letting us know that state rep said that they listen to Free Talk Live. That's pretty cool. It was probably Matt Santos also, but still. Or maybe Jason Gerhard. I don't know. Anyways, in the last segment, we were talking about people who mess up their faces. The worst thing that they can do is get the buckle fat removal. Do you guys know what that is?
What's
that? This right here?
Yes. It's just the fat in your cheeks right here. And it looks...
You can't just use bronzer?
Yeah, seriously. It's like... because with bronzer,
just
it's like
contour.
It's super subtle. Like, that's all you want. You don't want...
So how do they remove...
They cut your cheek open from the inside of your mouth.
Why?
And they pull it out with tweezers. It just comes right out.
Because
I watched it.
You can't just do the... what is the thing? You, like, bite on it. That exercise tool or they have a chin.
Stress.
They have a chin bar.
Yeah. I wonder if those chin bar things.
A chin bar thing, too. I've seen like infomercials about.
Me too.
I used to have a double chin.
I don't know why anybody wants to remove. Is it buckle or buccal?
I don't know. I guess I just said buckle, but I'm probably just reading it.
Yeah,
okay. Buccal fat, my bad. But still,
I don't know why anybody wants to anyway. It makes you look hollow and old.
It's young looking to have like a full face.
Mm-hmm.
So what the heck? Like,
heroin chic, like back in the 90s. All trends are cyclical. So that's all coming back again, where everybody looked like they were sick and dying.
And then there's like a bunch of, like, I remember in the early 2000s, I watched some clip of America's Next Top Model where they were like, yeah, you're the only plus size model. And she's literally like a size 2. She was skinny and they were like, yeah, how does it feel to be plus size? And she was like, I weigh 110 pounds.
That's so funny.
But yeah, but it was like totally like really bad, like the messaging for young girls in the early 2000s. And then because it got brought up because on some page I follow, they were like, you wonder why all of these girls in their 30s all had eating disorders.
Yeah, there
is because they were in the tabloids. I don't know if it was Jessica Simpson or somebody, but it was some just like hot chick that had curves. And they were like, she's so fat and disgusting, and she should, you know, stop eating. And, like, really aggressively.
They do that to Britney Spears.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just, like, really aggressively coming after all of these celebrities who are probably still way thinner than, like, the average population. So all of these girls were like, you know what I mean? It just kind of gets... It just did not...
It was really bad.
It's not good. Yeah, it was really... But now it's, like, too far in the other direction where it's, like, now, like, a little too... Not, like, I think body positivity is, like, a good thing. But now it's, like, mukbangs with, like, morbidly obese people. And it's, like, can't we just find, like, a healthy middle ground where we're, like, not super focused on body image, but it's more like nourishing your body and, like, being healthy and exercising? Like,
I have a problem with body positivity because it was not... intended for people weighing 400 pounds to be like, this is totally fine.
Yeah.
It was intended for people who were like an amputee or, you know, somebody who was born with
a wheelchair
disability
or
in a wheelchair or born with like a missing limb or something like that to to feel positive about their body even though they were different.
Yeah.
Not for people to just...
So
like,
you're
eat Burger King every day, and
that's fine.
Fine.
I'm
you're
healthy.
In favor of wheelchair Barbie, but you're not in favor of morbidly obese Barbie.
Correct.
Okay.
Yes.
Yep. But yeah, the other thing is they're like, well, just because I'm 600 pounds doesn't mean I'm not healthy.
Yes, right. It does.
It does.
It
actually
does.
Actually, it does.
Mm-hmm.
There was this
what
doctor
are you eating that could ever
get
make
up and
you
run across
fat?
The room?
Yeah.
600 pound person. Get up and run across the room.
Yeah, a tiger's chasing you. Back to that.
Right, yeah.
There's this
carry all
doctor.
Your groceries up the stairs in one go. Show it to me that you can do it.
I mean, you might not be able to do things as much as other people, and like that's one way to show it. But the other thing is just like you will die sooner.
Yeah, because you're not healthy.
Yep. It can't possibly be healthy.
Too skinny is also not healthy.
Yeah.
Like there's a balance. They've done studies on, like, elderly people, and people who are slightly overweight are healthier in the elderly population, because if they get sick, or, like, they fall and break a hip, they can afford to lose a little bit of weight
without
dying.
I think, like, really thin people are malnourished.
Mm-hmm. Very, very thin, yeah.
So
really thin
and not
people.
Only, like, eating disorders or restrictive eating, but, like, some people are just picky, I guess, and they're not really nourishing
or
their
like,
bodies.
Or they have... medical issues.
Yeah.
And there are medical issues that can make you fat, quote unquote.
Yeah.
But like not 600 pound fat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
the thing. Seriously.
You're just kind of fat.
Because sometimes I'll see on Facebook where someone's like dogging on like someone that's 600 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's always that one girl that's like, what if they have a medical condition?
No,
a medical
it's
condition
obesity.
Doesn't, like, it doesn't do that to you. Like, if you have a thyroid imbalance or if you're on, like, a steroid medication,
PCOS,
like, something like that, like, you might be, like, 300 pounds maybe,
yeah, maybe.
Or 250 or something.
Yeah, I feel like 300
but
pounds is
you're,
like,
that's pretty big.
You're
it depends
not
on how tall you are, I guess.
Yeah, that too.
But you're not going to be, like...
But nobody is tall enough to be 600 pounds.
Well,
yeah.
Once you're nearing, like...
No one's
well,
like
she's
9.5 feet
tall. Yeah.
She's a giant, so it's fine.
She's a giant. You guys need to be nice. Well, but yeah, that I agree. It's like no one just accidentally gets 600 pounds. And,
yeah, like you tried.
There's this thing that
it
people
takes
are
actual
saying...
actual effort.
People are calling it healthism. They're saying that, like,
instead
of racism.
Or, like, ableism.
Yep. There is this doctor that works at Mount Sinai, like, you know, she should be a really good doctor, right? Because it's, like, an expensive celebrity hospital. Or where
but
the Kardashians
like,
have a
doctor.
Yeah, and she made this video, and it went viral, where she was saying, like, people need to stop telling people that if they're fat, they're unhealthy. I'm a doctor, and I know that your doctor should not be shaming you for being fat or just assuming you're unhealthy because you're fat.
I mean,
when I was a kid, so I've always been a little bit chunky, you know, and when I was a kid, I had this little Vietnamese doctor, and every time I go in, she'd be like, you're too fat.
Whoa.
Yeah, come wait. And I was like, okay.
Whoa.
But that's the thing, like, in other cultures... especially like in a lot of Asian cultures, will just be like, you're fat.
Yeah.
Like,
oh, yeah.
Why are you fat?
Right.
I'm like, glad my mom.
Very blunt about it.
Yeah. I'm so glad my mom told me I was getting fat when I was, because I was like, it's like it happened so gradually for one thing. And for another thing, I was just like, whatever, like, I just have bigger boobs now. No, but I was actually, like, actually getting fat. And when I see, like, pictures of myself from back then, I'm like, I can't believe I didn't, like, notice I was getting fat. I was just, like, so used to being way underweight for so long. So I'm glad. My mom was like, Bonnie, you're getting fat. And I would be like, oh, my God. Like, I can't believe she's saying this to me. Yeah. No, but now I'm so happy.
Stating facts being offensive to people is bizarre to me.
Yeah.
Like, how is saying something that is true, objectively true, offensive?
Yeah, and it's not like she was saying it in a mean way. And, like, I'm sure there are people with parents. Yeah. Well, there are probably people with parents who are, like, being unrealistic, like, they're not really actually fat, or even if they are getting fat, they're saying it in a mean way. Like, I'm sure that you can do that. Like, be like, oh, my God, you're such a lazy freaking fat.
Yeah, terrible parents.
Yeah, exactly.
That's a whole separate issue.
Yeah,
it needs to be balance, and I think children should be hopefully taught healthy habits.
Yeah.
And I think it can be brought to someone's attention in, like, a positive way, or, like, I don't know, there's way, because even sometimes, like, compliments can be negatively, you know, can affect people negatively mentally.
Yeah.
Like, I know some people, someone was telling a story about how, like, sometimes, like, oh my gosh, you look so skinny, like, you look so good can sometimes be a bad thing. Like, one girl was saying that she had cancer. Had stomach cancer, and people kept complimenting her on her weight loss, and she was like, I'm dying.
Yeah, right.
So I'm not taking, you know what I mean? So it was kind of just like...
It's also kind of like it's her opinion on how to feel.
I hope she said that to them.
I hope she did too.
Yeah.
She didn't, like, specify that in the podcast.
Public
but
niceties are terrible when people are like, how are you? But they don't actually care.
Yeah.
I think people should start being like, I'm terrible. And then maybe people will stop asking when they don't care.
Maybe, something like weight is different. Like, I would never just be like, even if I noticed, I can't imagine. I would not say like, oh, you look so good. You look so skinny. Like, I feel like I've never said that. I feel like I would never say that. But if it's something like, oh, I just couldn't possibly know that, like I try not to even tell people anymore when I'm like, oh, you look like this celebrity. Cause like somebody got offended once.
Yeah.
Like, how can I possibly know? I think she's pretty.
When I'm complimenting people, especially on physical appearance, I try to, like, be, like, very, either very, like, specific and true with my words.
But, like, you cannot possibly know if, like, somebody's going to be like, yeah, I hate my nose, so thanks a lot.
Yeah.
And it's, like, that's a them problem.
I don't compliment people's appearance unless it's, like, a thing. Like, oh, I like your earrings.
Yeah,
that's
sweater.
A good point. I find myself telling little kids a lot. Like, I'm like, oh, you're so pretty to my friend's little daughter.
Yeah.
And because
I tell my daughters too, yeah.
But then I wonder if, like, the parents are going to think that's weird. Like, or parents are going to be like, I don't say that. You know? Like, I don't know. So that's the thing that, like, my brain immediately says. Like, I'm just like, oh, you're such a pretty little girl. But I don't say it to really people I see.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Because, like, people are just so freaking sensitive nowadays.
Yeah.
But we were talking about this book review, and it is on this topic we're talking about, I swear. It's called Filter World, which is a great name for the world that we live in. I never understood filters really either. Like, maybe on Snapchat when it's like a silly one, it's like, oh, look, me and my friends are like sitting here drinking and here's us with the dog face filter, but not the type of filter that is like, it's me, but like if I was pretty. Like, what?
Yeah, those are weird.
So weird. Like the fake eyelashes that are so obvious. And
they're all so obvious.
It's just so
bad. It's almost worse. It's like, just post a real picture of yourself.
Just post a real picture of yourself. And like, everybody knows. It's the same thing I feel like as like lip filler and all other fillers. It's like, everybody knows.
Know.
And it doesn't make you look better. It makes you look insecure. Like, super insecure. It says that back in the 19th century, a quasi-magical force seemed to govern Americans' everyday lives. Electricity. That tantalizing new scientific discovery took on a mystical role in the American imagination. The popular vision of electricity was a pulsating mystery, the secret to human life and progress, discovered and harnessed as, I don't know that word, inchoate energy. Yeah, whatever. For Henry Adams, it was a moral force, analogous to how the early Christians felt the cross, as well as a despotic master. Whoa. A host of pseudoscientific self-help techniques soon sprang up with jargon-laden terms such as personal magnetism and electrophysiology and the promise of the age-old goals of health, beauty, and prosperity. Today, the American imagination has a new technology to imbue with that sacred power, the algorithm. Like electricity, an esoteric combination of mathematical precision and human decision seems to govern all aspects of our internet-suffused lives. As Kyle Shanka suggests in Filter World, the algorithm has taken on the character of a near-spiritual mystery, a force that we do not entirely understand, but that increasingly shapes the decisions we make or think we make. And Jay Noon talks about this a lot, our host on Thursdays, about how nowadays, basically, the algorithm, if you're looking at Twitter every day, if you're looking at TikTok every day, whatever, the algorithm can affect people's choices. And I totally believe that. It's like they'll show you something that makes you angry during a specific time in your life. You know, they can, like, push people to, like, be violent and crazy.
Oh, I'm sure.
Mr. Shaka, a staff writer at The New Yorker, explores the tension between our perceived online freedom and the increasing homogeneity of our Instagram-saturated world. And that's one thing that the alternative title that I did read talked about. It said that it has dulled culture, and I totally can see that. It's like, I feel like when, like, I've lived in so many different states, and it's like in every state I went to high school and kids were saying, damn, Daniel, you know, and it's not like that's a bad thing or something. It's just like they basically had like the
yeah.
internet culture that yes. most of them were more interested in than like, oh, like living in the mountains.
Well, and it is kind of strange that children from like across the entire, like from completely different geographical areas are like saying the same things.
Exactly.
And are, like, it just, it's very unnatural.
Mm-hmm. I think it's weird.
I can't really say whether it's good or a bad thing, but
right.
my hunch is that it's maybe not great.
I do think it's weird. It's like all of these little kids, like my little brother who's 10, will text me like, bruh, look at this. And I'm like, why are you saying bruh? Like, he just says it because yeah. internet kids say it, but it's kind of funny.
Yeah.
It says, as he, the author, points out, the internet seems to offer us a dizzying array of choices. We now have at our fingertips a near infinite list of products to buy, music to listen to, and films and books and memes and to dedicate our limited attention span to. The music thing, how could that be anything but good? Today, I took a break from what I was doing and was just listening to music, and I was like, the fact that this is, like, nearly free, like, I could probably listen to Like a Prayer by Madonna for free. But I was listening to that and I was like, the fact that this is just available to me at the touch of my fingertips is like, there is no price you could put on music. It's so freaking amazing in so many different ways. So yeah, it's not a bad thing. 603-283-6160. We'll get into what this author is trying to say about our world because of the internet and social media. But you can call in with whatever is on your mind. 603-283-6160. It's Free Talk Live.
Airlines have just reduced their prices even more. Book 30 days in advance and save big.
Want the absolute lowest prices on your airline tickets? Then call the low-cost airlines travel hotline right now for prices so low we can't publish them anywhere. The only way to access our low rates and save up to 70% is to call. Save hundreds on your vacation tickets by calling right now. You can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go. And pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. That's 802-341-4535.
USA News Update. A Russian military transport plane that was carrying 74 people, including 65 Ukrainian prisoners of war, crashed today in a border region near Ukraine. There were no survivors. Marijuana sales in Michigan were high last year, over $3 billion, which is higher than the alcohol sales in the state. Western China reeling from aftershocks after a 7.1 magnitude earthquake yesterday in a remote part of the country. Three people were killed, five injured, hundreds of buildings damaged. Former President Donald Trump won New Hampshire's Republican presidential primary yesterday, defeating former South Carolina Governor Nikki Haley and moving him closer to a rematch with President Biden this fall. I'm Corey Myers, USA News.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Have you heard the warning from the dead doctors don't lie guy? I'm talking about Dr. Joel Wallach. He says if you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol or high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, or other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. That's what he says. He has a free lecture revealing what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. And it's all in his free lecture called Deadly Recipe. You want it free? Call him toll-free at 855-79-YOUNG. You ready? 855-79-YOUNG. Dr. Joel Wallach, the dead doctors don't lie guy, says there's no reason why we shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
Talk radio that you control. In 603-283-6160 is the phone number. You can call in and bring up whatever is on your mind. That's 603-283-6160. And I wanted to tell you that Free Talk Live is brought to you by Fork Fest, happening June 13th through the 16th at Rogers Campground in the beautiful White Mountains of New Hampshire. Fork Fest is a fork of the Porcupine Freedom Festival. ForkFest is decentralized, so there is no ticket cost and no one is in charge. For more information and to connect with other attendees, you can visit the unofficial website, forkfest.party. That's forkfest.party. And with you in the studio tonight on Free Talk Live, you've got me, Bonnie,
Lori, and Nikki.
And in the last segment, we were talking about we were talking about how people are really insecure and use the internet for silly reasons, like to feel better about themselves, like, oh, I feel so pretty when guys are liking my picture that is literally not me at this point. It's like a voodoo doll that kind of looks like me because I face-tuned giant hips or something like that, like face-tuned myself looking completely different in some way. There's that, and also apparently people are using it to look for freedom. And this, I totally believe that people are doing this. It's like, if you are not content in the now, most people will find a way to escape the now, and sometimes it's like drugs. But a lot of times, I think it's social media. And anytime I've caught myself being that way, I want to go, like, fulfill some fantasy. Like, my brain isn't, it's not thinking that, like, straight up, but it's like a feeling or something. And I'm like, yeah, I'm going to go, like, look at some social media. Like, whenever I feel myself like that, I'm like, yeah, I got to log off. Like, I can go, like, weeks without, like, Twitter if I feel like it's, like, taking over my life or, like, not letting, like, I'm, like, not in them now. I'm spending too much time on it, stuff like that. But apparently people are using social media as this kind of escape. It says that, as the author points out, the author of Filter World, the internet seems to offer us a dizzying array of choices, unlike in your real life, where you can only really do one thing at once. We now have at our fingertips a near infinite list of products to buy, music to listen to, and films and books and memes to dedicate our limited attention span to. At times, the internet can seem like a manifestation of our desires, reshaping itself in accordance with our clicks and likes. But such freedom is illusory. More often than not, Mr. Sheka tells us the power of algorithms lies in their ability to denature our capacity to choose. From the news headlines that we are prompted to see, the music that streaming services play for us, and the ads that follow us like shadows across the web, Filter World, for Mr. Sheka, is a flattened universe of consumer acquiescence, no less standardized than the Instagram photo editing tools that lend the book its name, filters. So basically, that's all I really wanted to read about this article. Like, I don't want to get into the entire book review or anything, but it was related to what we were talking about. People, you know, checking out of real life, wanting to look like, you know, a fox instead of a human being.
Do ads make you want to buy things?
Me? Yes, sometimes.
They do?
Once in a while.
It depends on what it is.
I've never seen an ad that I've been like, oh, now I want to buy that.
Usually it's food for me. It's like, now I want pizza.
Yeah. Sometimes Amazon has, like, now they have, like, recommended buy things.
Hmm.
But it's normally something I needed, and I'm like, oh, I forgot I needed that. But it still works. Like,
yeah.
If I would have never, like, it was the last one that got me was the back scrubber things.
Hmm.
Because I like to exfoliate, but I'm going through a lot of Dead Sea Salt. And Matt was like, you should buy one of those things. And Amazon was like, I got you $10.
But what about something that you didn't know about before? Like, I think
that's what I'm saying. Like, an ad that's not something you're already looking for.
I think that I don't get hit by those only because of the fact that I watch so much, like, just, like, people living their lives. Like, I like to watch that. Well, like, if I'm just chilling out, one thing I like to watch is, like, people living their lives content.
Yeah.
And they'll talk about what they use, and sometimes I'm like, oh, that sounds great, I'm going to use it. So it's not an ad, but it kind of is.
I'm also, like, not a huge consumer.
Mm.
Like, I don't want anything, really. I don't really want to buy anything, and I'm, like, very specific with the things I do buy. I research them, and I'm like absolutely certain, like, this is the one, the exact one that I want. So if I find an ad for something, I'm probably not going to buy that one because that one's not going to be good enough. But maybe I would buy a different one.
For me, it's so, like, now that I'm asking or thinking about it because you asked this question, I feel like for me it's mostly at people's suggestions. Like, not people I know in real life, but, like, these random people, like, that I follow on Twitter or, like, watch on YouTube or something. It's not always necessarily, like, beauty products. Like, I got convinced on Twitter that I need, like, a shower filter. I had Ian do the research on which one. So it's not really the same thing. Like, I can't think of a time I watched an ad for something
but
other than
food. But that wasn't someone's, like, paid, like, they weren't sponsored by them. They were just, like,
hey, I think it wouldn't matter either way. Like, it could happen to me either way. It's like, if they're like, I am sponsored, but this is a really good blah, 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 I still might be convinced.
I don't know.
I don't know what companies are spending these advertising dollars on if they don't. It doesn't actually work.
And that's the thing. Like, normally they'll do it after you've already been looking into something. So it's like, I already bought that.
Yeah.
Why are you sending me ads?
Like, yeah. Like, I bought a toilet lid.
Yeah, I don't need another one.
Right, and they're trying to sell me another. Like, I don't. How many do you think I need?
Yeah.
Just the one.
Just the one.
I get a lot of ads when I play Angry Birds because I just play that a lot while listening to, like, any video where I don't need to see it or listening to any audiobook.
Are those tailored to you or are they like totally random?
I think that they're totally random. And yeah. I was just going to say, like, I'm just sitting here trying to think if any of them ever made me want any of that stuff. Like, sometimes it's other games and I'm like, I will never play another game other than the Angry Birds because it's a perfect game and I'll play it for the rest of my life. But the other thing is, like, Disney World. Like, it's obviously not tailored to me. Yeah, they just advertise Disney World, and that's never going to work on
me. That's, like, so random.
If I was going to go somewhere, I'd go to Busch Gardens in Virginia. Like,
so
I would not go to
Disney
World. So you
hear that, Angry Birds advertisements?
Yeah, it's like...
Send her advertisements for Busch Gardens, not Disneyland.
Well...
Idiots.
It's just like, yeah, I think you're right that it's not as effective as... People act like it is.
Yeah. but that's why companies will pay for it, because, you know, like, YouTube doesn't pay. Like, people used to make big money off YouTube. Not anymore. So now people need sponsors. But that's why companies are more, like, AG1 is a huge one that, like, everyone I follow on YouTube promotes.
What is that?
But it's like a green powder, like vitamins and stuff. But that's why companies will pay these influencers or content creators so much money, because that works better than the ads. You know what I mean?
Like, from an actual person.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, I'm watching every single one of Caria and Nate's videos. Mm-hmm. I'm more likely to take their word for it than someone else's. And because they're getting commission, they have incentive to make a really kick-ass, like, commercial in the middle of their YouTube video that's, like, funny and relatable. So then people are like, whoa, you drink AG1 every day? Like, look at how, like, pretty this girl is, or look at how healthy she looks. Like, I'm going to do that. So I think that style of advertising works a lot better than just, like, the generic
form. You feel like you know them. I did buy a Sam and Colby shirt. So I guess that counts. It's not really like they're advertising something else. They're just like, buy our merch.
Yeah.
And they're in Zoomies now. So I went in there and looked at them. And I was like, okay, I actually really like this one. So I got it. And I have never bought anyone's merch ever before. But Sam and Colby are just the most amazing people. They're ghost hunters. I've mentioned them on the show before. But we have this story from the AP. A pastor in a small Ohio city are in a tussle over the legality of his 24/7 homeless ministry. And it's just like, how could you possibly argue the government's in the right over this? So stupid. A Christian church in Ohio filed a federal lawsuit this week after its pastor was charged with violating city ordinances when he opened up the sanctuary around the clock for homeless people and others to find shelter. This is just so bad.
Why
is
that against the law?
It should not be against the law. It's so bad. It's probably going to be something like fire codes. It's fire codes, Lori. But it shouldn't be illegal. But we do have a caller on the line. Looks like we have David in New Mexico. David, what's on your mind?
That hold is too short, Bonnie.
That hold was too short. I'm sorry. Did you need more time to think?
No. I got thinking covered. I was picking my nose, and I needed more time to get that booger out.
Ew.
So... Yeah, next time, maybe instead of 1 second hold, maybe like 7 or 8 seconds will do. I can get them boogers out in that amount of time. It's no problem.
Well, the time before that, you were mad that she holded for too long and that you only had like 5 minutes.
Oh, really?
Delicate balance.
Yeah.
Well, it's male prerogative to be mad about whatever you want to be mad about, Nikki.
Okay. We'll let you have that.
Men are mad. Okay.
Men are mad, yeah.
We'll let you be mad.
And bad. Crazy man. This is your captain speaking. What questions did you have about maintenance?
On an airplane?
Mm-hmm.
Are you a mechanic?
No, I'm an airline transport pilot.
Really?
Uh-huh. You can go to the FAA's website and look up my name.
Whoa.
David from New Mexico.
David from New Mexico? Why is it popping up?
Yep.
No, I know his last name. I won't say it on there. But,
we've seen the picture.
So...
How often are is a plane inspected?
What?
How often is a plane inspected? Is it after every flight?
Well, yeah. Well, something's being inspected after every flight, before every flight, during every flight. It's just there's 1,000 different things that get inspected, and they all have a different calendar time frame. And so, what you're talking about is the maintenance, not stuff done by the pilot, but stuff done by the maintenance. And it's called what they call progressive maintenance. And so instead of doing, the whole thing every year, every half year, whatever, they're just constantly going over it and over it and over it. And so, lesser things are inspected more frequently. And then as you get into the the deeper and deeper parts of the airplane, they're done a little bit less frequently because they're harder to get at, and they generally don't need to be done every day, every week, every month. And so every different part of the airplane has a different maintenance schedule on that progressive maintenance plan. And they're just constantly throughout the course of the year going over every aspect of the airplane. Why that door plug got missed? Obviously there's a flaw in their maintenance plan regarding that component.
So would you say that that's something that you think would get checked every single flight?
No, that would be something that would get checked. I'm pulling this out of my rear end. That would get checked, once a month, once every other month, once every third month. At the least, it would get checked once a year, which is sufficient if it was properly installed in the first place.
Right.
There's no,
That's what I was thinking. Like, that means the airline probably never checked this because of the fact that it was a problem from manufacturing.
So when a brand new plane comes to an airline or whatever, they don't do an initial check of the entire plane?
Well, yes and no. Their progressive maintenance plan begins immediately. They take delivery of, theoretically, coming from the factory, everything is kosher because the manufacturer has their own maintenance plan. I mean, you're building the airplane is basically the maintenance plan, and they have a punch card, a checklist. They check everything off before they deliver the aircraft to the buyer, and then the buyer, the airline, takes possession of it, and they immediately begin their progressive maintenance plan.
Okay, but they just trust that the manufacturer did everything right because they don't do a whole entire inspection of it.
I don't know for sure. I'd have to speculate. I doubt that an airline takes delivery of a brand new airplane and then keeps it grounded until they've gone over every maintenance aspect of it. I believe that they probably put it immediately into service, like I said, beginning their progressive maintenance from day one, so the airplane flies for a day and these things get checked, and the airplane flies for a week and these things get checked, and the airplane flies for a month and then these things get checked, and then 2 months and 3 months and 6 months and 1 year, and it's just constantly being gone over in a cycle like that.
So, thank you for giving the expert testimony on that, because we were just kind of guessing. If people know what he's talking about, in the first hour, I think we were talking about the Boeing airplane from Alaskan Airlines that their door flew out mid-flying. And, oh, my God, that is so scary. Thank you for the call, David. And I hope that Boeing gets, either fixes their problems or ends up just, like, going out of business. It looks like we have another caller, unscreened caller. You're on Free Talk Live. What's on your mind?
Hey, I was just calling about your the article you guys were just reading about.
The church?
The church, yeah.
So do you know anything about this?
It's like a town over.
Oh, wow.
Where I live. Basically, dude, just like little piddly things that he didn't get done. I know one of the big things was he had bought a gas dryer, didn't have it hooked up right, so carbon monoxide and stuff was leaking into the house, so.
Whoa.
But no, a lot of it's just like little piddly things where, if you're going to have people say, follow these ordinances.
Wow. Yeah, it seems kind of crazy considering these people have no house and they're choosing to be there. And it's like they'd probably rather be somewhere where it has some issues than be nowhere or be on the street.
Yeah.
Especially a lot of these places had like negative 30 degree temperatures.
Oh, yeah, in the Midwest, yeah.
Oh, yeah. It was a little cold here this last week, so.
Well, thank you so much for the call. Let's get into the rest of this article. It's really, I think, messed up the government, what they're doing, like, going after this man at all. It's like, why don't you just help? Why don't you offer, if you're supposed to be the government that we all need for society to run smoothly, why don't you send people in to help fix the gas dryer instead of, charging this man money for trying to help homeless people? It's so stupid. It says, police this month filed 18 criminal charges. 18 criminal charges against Dad's Place Church pastor Chris Avell over allegations the rented church building located next to a separate homeless shelter along Main Street in Bryan, Ohio, a city of about 8,000 people, was violating the zoning ordinance, lacked proper kitchen and laundry facilities, and had unsafe exits and inadequate ventilation. An attorney for Avell and the church Jeremy Dyes said he thinks city leaders don't want the ministry in the middle of the town, describing it as a not-in-my-backyard issue, and accusing officials of inventing problems. Nothing satisfies the city, Dyes said Monday, hours after the lawsuit was filed, and worse, they go on a smear campaign of innuendo and half-truths. Wow, it's like they just don't want to see these homeless people. Maybe the homeless people, like, walk around on Main Street during the daytime when they're not in the church, and they're like, oh, we don't want to see these homeless people, like, this guy, he's giving us problems by trying to help them. During an initial meeting with the federal judge and lawyers for Brian on Tuesday morning, both sides agreed to maintain the status quo, Dyes said. As a result, he said, the church will remain open to those who seek its religious services until at least March 4th, when the judge will consider its request for an injunction against the city. Avell, who pleaded not guilty in municipal court January 11th, said his church wants to welcome anyone regardless of the time of day. I truly believe that everyone who walks through the door of Dad's place walks out a better citizen, Avell said in an interview Tuesday, adding that closing down the around-the-clock ministry would lose what is actually a beacon of light downtown. And it's just like, oh, like that's such a sad freaking thing to think of, the government getting rid of this place where people go in, probably receive actual ministry, have a place to go, feel, you know, comforted by other people that are caring about them. Like, imagine thinking you're the good guy in this situation. I just can't.
It's crazy.
Like, there's always these people, and I'm always on the opposite end. There are always people who are like, most government workers probably think they're doing something right. Who in Avell, Ohio is standing up against this who works for the government and saying, like, this isn't right? Because it's so clearly not right.
Yeah.
And there's a million examples like that, but this one is just, like, in your face. Like,
I don't understand anyway, because it's a church, mm-hmm. right? So there's people in it during the day,
mm-hmm.
a bunch of people.
Yeah.
And at that time, it has adequate ventilation and
he didn't say that the
whatnot.
City's making stuff up.
Yeah, so if there's people
as
during the
do.
Day and that's fine, then why is it suddenly not fine at night? It's simply because they're housing homeless people?
Yeah, but they just don't like, I think they just don't like that the homeless people are there for some reason. The defendants are the city. The defendants are the city, Brian, Mayor, Carrie Schlade, and other Brian officials. Why are they the defendants? Because they're suing the other person. Wouldn't that make the other people the, whatever.
You'd think.
The city
I don't know
is
if
suing.
They're suing the city in retaliation against the. It didn't seem like that's what was happening, but it didn't seem like we were to that point, that they were to that point yet, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
it seems like that's something that would happen later if that was going to happen.
I didn't read anything so far that said that they're countersuing.
No.
So what, somehow the defendants are sitting, Brian, Ohio.
Ohio.
But it's Brian with a Y. We absolutely deny any allegation that the city has treated any religious institution inappropriately, said Bryan City Attorney Mark Fischel, noting that Schlade supported the church opening in the building 4 years ago.
So it does sound like they're actually suing them. That wasn't like a typo or something.
Yeah, like countersuing them, saying
yeah,
that they mistreated them.
Like, yeah.
They didn't mention that.
No, but it sounds like, based on his statement,
yeah, it's just, like, so odd that they're just suddenly talking
them.
About something without, like, introducing it. Like,
yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, it says, we absolutely deny any allegation that the city has treated any religious institution inappropriately. Because it started off talking about these 18 charges the city is bringing against the church guy.
Mm-hmm.
Noting that Schlade supported the church opening in the building 4 years ago. Well, a lot can change in 4 years for one thing, and, like, you don't get to just say, no, the church can't open in the building, so who cares that you supported it? He says, the city has been and continues to be interested in any business, any church, any entity complying with local and state law. The church's lawsuit said, its leaders decided in March to remain open at all hours as a temporary emergency shelter for people to go who have nowhere else to go and no one to care for them. 8 people stay there on a typical night. Okay, it's only 8. It's like, that can't possibly be too many people in one building.
Right.
Like, if there are 8 people in my house, it wouldn't be like, oh, the ventilation's not good enough in my house. It's got to be smaller than this church. And I feel like if there were 8 people in this room who just had nowhere to go, it was like a emergency situation, like, it would be fine.
It would be fine.
Yeah, like being negative degree. You know what I mean? Like being super, super cold.
It wouldn't be like, I can't breathe in here. Like that wouldn't happen.
It'd be fine.
And it's not like it's a hotel. They're not charging these people.
Yeah.
They're just coming in.
No, so they're probably just laying on the ground.
Right. So how can they even say you have to have all these specific parameters?
No, that's crazy.
For people to come in and just sleep
like,
in here.
I'm sure these people would rather not have, like, adequate accommodations versus dying.
Right. Yeah.
Freezing to death.
Mm-hmm.
Gets cold in Ohio.
What do they want? What does the city want? Like, those people just go outside?
Yep.
Yeah, they just want them to die, probably. Yeah. I mean, that's like that's cities. They hate homeless people, and they just want them to die.
Yeah.
Here says the church's lawsuit says, okay, so yeah, the church is countersuing.
Good for them.
I feel like if I read that, I was, like, blanked out or something. It says, it was city police officers who would bring people by, Avil, the owner of the church, said. The local hospital would call and bring people by. Other homeless shelters would call and bring people by. So it seems like the community doesn't have some kind of a problem. It's the parasite class, the government.
Well, even cops are bringing people over?
Right? Yeah, that's a good point.
Well, I mean, politicians are different than cops, right? So there could be, like, community cops that are like, oh, you need a place to go. Like, I've heard of this place, you know?
Yeah. And it says the church's
weird
policy has been, well, it's if they would bring people by. Maybe they're, like, they stopped. I don't know. It didn't really give the context of that quote. Just said it was city police officers who would bring people by, like in the past. The church's policy has been to let anyone stay overnight and doesn't ask them to leave unless there is a biblically valid reason for doing so, or if someone at the property poses a danger to himself or others, according to the complaint. And it's just like, it's their property. That should be it. That should be fine. There should be no question, no other talking about this. Held from 11 p.m. to 8 a.m., the church's Rest and Refresh in the Lord ministry includes Johnny Cash's reading of the Bible piped in under dim lights, and anyone is allowed to come or go. I've never even heard of that.
Johnny Cash has a reading of the Bible? Yes. I knew he was religious.
Never even heard of that.
No.
It's been Free Talk Live. You can call in tomorrow if you didn't get a chance today. You can go to freetalklive.com, and social.freetalklive is back up, so you can go there as well. Thank you for listening. Peace.
People often write to tell us what has happened for them since starting Extendivite. Allow me to read a few highlights. Extendivite works in keeping my blood pressure in the normal range. I have been using Extendivite for many years. Great product. I use regularly and I rarely get sick. This product has relieved what appeared to be angina pain in my chest and shortness of breath after climbing stairs. I'm quite happy about it. My husband, son, and I have been using this product for a few months now, and we have noticed an improvement in our joints and blood pressure. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Life can be full of risks. One thing you shouldn't take a risk with ever is your family's health insurance. If you're self-employed or you now need affordable health insurance, you need to make this free call right now and see how the Health Insurance Helpline can help you get it. We specialize in helping the self-employed and people just like you that need affordable health insurance to get it. We have short and long-term health insurance plans, and some even cover dental, vision, and prescription drugs. Don't take a risk with your family's health insurance. It's not worth it. If you're self-employed or now need affordable health insurance, call right now and learn for free how to get it. Listen, affordable health insurance plans for everyone just like you are a free phone call away. So give us a shout right now.
800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. That's 800-670-0946.